Okay, as the sheets are going around, so we are going to, Mirtz Hashem, spend the next segment in Perek Shira speaking about the Yareach, speaking about the moon. So the truth is, we've mentioned the moon in passing in different contexts, but here we're going to focus on it. We'll probably spend at least two classes on it and really go in a couple of different directions. So remember, again, just to reorient ourselves, the whole essence of Perek Shira, of course, is finding the deeper meaning in nature, understanding that the natural world speaks to us in a dramatic way, and Perek Shira offers us the opportunity to be able to appreciate and understand that message. So let's begin with the actual statement of the Yareach. Now, of course, what's interesting to note is already Yareach Omer, the moon says. What's already just intriguing about that? I'm sorry? Oh, Omeres, good, good. What else? What about the word Yareach? What's intriguing about that? Is that how the moon is always referred to? How is the moon often referred to? Levana. So we have to, we'll just keep this in mind as well, because even the choice of the word Yareach as opposed to Levana is going to be exceptionally important as well. So what does the Yareach say? What does the moon say? Asa Yareach lemo'adim, excuse me, Shemesh yada mivo'o. Thank you very much. So literally translated, all he's quoting over here, a pasuk from Tehillim, Asa Yareach lemo'adim, we'll just use the straight translation. He made the moons for the festivals, Shemesh yada mivo'o. The sun knows the time of its coming. So if I were to ask you, what does that pasuk mean? What would you say? I'm sorry? Say it again. Okay, so excellent. So you want to say Asa Yareach lemo'adim is a literal idea that I look at the moon to know. You're saying Rosh Chodesh. What else? For what else? It's not just Rosh Chodesh. What does mo'adim literally mean? Zmanim. It could be just times. What else? Yom Tovim. Right, so excellent. So meaning it starts with Rosh Chodesh. It starts with Rosh Chodesh. But of course, remember again, Rosh Chodesh is only the beginning. The goal, ultimately, again, of the Yareach is to the Mo'adim, is to the Yamim Tovim. Remember, again, you'll notice, as I'm sure you have, that there is a fundamental distinction between the way we end Kiddush on Shabbos and the way we end Kiddush on Yom Tov. Right? How does Kiddush end on Shabbos? Mekadesh HaShabbos. How does Kiddush end on Yom Tov? Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Right? So why that distinction? Why is it Shabbos Mekadesh HaShabbos? Why is it Yom Tov Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim? Why is that? Still in vacation mode a little bit. Okay, so why that distinction? Why are we adding in God sanctifies the Jewish people and the Yamim Tovim? Why is that there? And if it, I mean, it sounds beautiful, why not say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim? Why not say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hashabbos? What's the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Correct. Excellent. Meaning, Shabbos is a de facto kiddusha. Right? The halacha is the seventh day comes. No matter what you do or you don't do, we have absolutely no impact on the kiddusha of Shabbos. Right? The sun goes down Friday afternoon. It is Shabbos. Okay, we could tap into the kiddusha of Shabbos. We can make kiddush. We can fulfill the mitzvahs related to the day. But lamaisa, practically speaking, the holiness of the day is inherent and intrinsic. That is different than Yom Tov. Because the creation, the beginning, the start of Yom Tov is fundamentally dependent on what? The calendar. Right? Remember, again, this is between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is fundamentally rooted in the day of the week. For example, the Gemara says, what happens if you get lost in the desert and you lose track of time? You're not sure what day of the week it is. So what do? You count 7 days, and the seventh day is Shabbos. That's the way it works. Shabbos is the seventh day. And if you get confused about your calculations, you try your best, but you observe the seventh day. Yom Tov is different because Yom Tov, remember, is linked to a calendrical date. It is not linked to a day of the month, to a day of the week. It is linked to a date in the month. Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei. Yom Kippur is the 15th of Tishrei. Shavuos is the 6th of Sivan, so on and so forth. Who determines that calendrical reality? That's Klal Yisrael. We do. Right? We determine ultimately again when Rosh Chodesh is. And then by definition, the Yamim Tovim are a result of that. So excellent. So Asa Yareach Lemo'adim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Yareach, by which we go ahead and determine the Yomim Tovim, Rosh Chodesh, and by extension the Yomim Tovim, Shemesh Yada Mevo'o. What does that mean? The sun knows the time of its coming. What would you say? What does that mean? Good. It's not exactly clear what it means. Remember, again, in general, so much of Sefer Tehillim, when you read it, often doesn't translate well. And that's because Sefer Tehillim is a book of poetry. Poetry doesn't always translate as a regular sentence. So Shemesh Yada Mevo'o, the sun knows the time of its coming, is not exactly clear. So Rashi says over here, number two, something interesting. Lamo'adim, Rashi says, Limnos bo zmanim uragam. It's like we just mentioned before. The first part of the pasuk is quite clear. Asa yareach lamo'adim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the yareach for the Yomim Tovim, says Rashi. Limnos bo zmanim urigolim. To go ahead and calculate by it zmanim. Now the truth is, what does zmanim mean? What would you say in this context? Times. What times? Sorry? So when things should start. And now this is interesting, because in general, is the moon used for zmanim? No. It's actually quite interesting. Right? Think about this. The moon is associated with nighttime. Right? What astrological signs are important when it comes to nighttime? When is Shabbos over? Three stars. Interestingly enough, it's never the moon. It's really quite fascinating. The sun is important, right? When the sun rises, Netzachama, that's an important zman. Shkia, when the sun goes down, important zman. But amazingly enough, none of our daily zmanim are dependent on the moon. Even what we call Tseisakochavim, nightfall. Nightfall has nothing to do with the moon. It has to do with the appearance of three medium-sized stars. So hold on to this, because this is quite interesting. Because normally we assume that the sun and the moon are sisters, right? They're linked together in terms of, well, we're going to talk about this today a little bit. But amazingly enough, the moon is not used for any what we call our daily zmanim. So it must be that when Rashi says over here, number two, Lamoadim, limnos bo zmanim urigalim, zmanim must really mean what? Regalim, we know. Regalim means what? Yamim Tovim. So what, perhaps, what does zmanim mean? Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. It's also that it's just Rosh Chodesh. Right? So zmanim meaning timing of Rosh Chodesh, and ultimately, again, regalim. So before we get into everything else over here, I want to go on a little bit of a tangent. Now, well, it's not a tangent. It's part of our topic, but I apologize that I didn't include it on the sheet. Because I realized after I had prepared the class for today, I realized that I omitted something very important. The truth is, the story of the Areach, the story of the moon, does not begin in Tehillim. When does the story of the moon begin? Bereshis. Good. So listen to this. Remember, if you have a Chumash, you have a Tanakh, you could follow along with this. I apologize that I did not put this on the sheet, but if you happen to have a Tanakh, it's good to look inside of the Pesukim. So I am beginning now in Perek Aleph. In Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yudalid. So we are up to now day number 4 in Maase Bereishis. So Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yudalid. Vayomer Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yehi Ma'oros Birki HaShamayim, let there be, we'll call it luminaries, lights in the sky. V'havdil bein hayom u'bein halayla, v'hayula osos u'lamo'adim, liyamim v'shalim. So Ari HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that the role of the luminaries is not simply to give light, right? In other words, this idea that a luminary, a sun, a moon, without giving any names yet, is more than just light. Already from the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'hayu la'osos u'lamo'adim, there'll be for signs, mo'adim. What does mo'adim mean? So interesting enough, remember again, so mo'ad means appointed times. And mo'ad means a specific time. So what that means, okay, we don't have to get into now. Yamim, days, and shanim, years. Remember again, this is very interesting and very important. There is a fascinating almost contradiction in the Jewish calendar. Remember again, we base our calendar off what? Off the moon, right? Off the moon. Right, we have a lunar calendar. Right, that's why, again, as opposed to a solar calendar, which is always 365 days, the lunar calendar isn't always like that. there's another issue that happens. So we have a lunar calendar. We have a lunar calendar based on the moon. But our Yomim Tovim, specifically Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, most specifically Pesach, are linked to what? Seasons. Right? Remember again, Pesach is called Chag HaAviv. The seasons are based on what? On the sun, on the solar calendar. So we have this interesting dynamic that we have a lunar calendar, right? But yet our Yomim Tovim are linked to seasons, which is a function of the solar calendar. Which is why every once in a while, what has to happen? A leap year. Which is why a leap year is always what month? There's only one month that could be a leap month, which is Adar. Why Adar? Because the only time you're ever going to have to declare a leap year is when? There's only one reason to declare a leap year, which is if Pesach is going to come out of the winter. If we see, if Chazal saw, now the calendar is organized, so this is already set. But if Chazal were to see that Pesach is going to come out during the winter, what they would do is they would declare a leap year, which adds in an extra Adar, pushes Pesach into the spring. Starting from the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can see all of this embedded in the Pesukim. What do the luminaries do? Osos, their signs, Mo'adim, appointed times, maybe Yomim Tovim, Yomim, to ultimately count days, Vishanim, and to count years. Beautiful. So what happens? The Baruch Hu makes them for Ma'oros, luminaries in the Rakia, to illuminate the earth, to illuminate the Aretz, Vayichen, and it was so. So remember, at this point in time in the Pesukim, what's the relationship between the Ma'oros? What's the position between now? Again, remember, how many Ma'oros are being created? Two, right? One is going to exist when? By day, right? Remember, l'havdil bein hayomu bein halayla. The idea is, obviously, two luminaries, one to function by day, one to function by night. The relationship between the two is what? Equal. Equal. This is very important in the progression of Pesukim. The relationship is equal. Vayichein. Then something amazing happens. I'm now in Perek Aleph Pasek Tezayin. Vayas Elokim es Shnei Hamaoros Hagidolim. Es Hamaor Hagadol Lemem Shalas Hayom. Ve Es Hamaor Hakaton Lemem Shalas Balayla. Ve Isa Kochavim. Then something dramatic occurs. What occurs? Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the two luminaries, and first the pasuk calls them two great luminaries. And then it says, one is a Ma'or HaGadol, large luminary, to go ahead and reign by day, and one is the small luminary to reign by night. The large luminary being sun, small luminary being the moon. What's dramatic? What's the dramatic shift? They're not equal. They're not equal. Right, so remember again, this is why it's so important to trace the progression of the Pesukim. We began, just so you appreciate this, in Perek Yudalid, Yehi Ma'oros Perek Yashrayim, they're equal. Even in this Pasuk, even in Tes Zayin, Vayashnei HaMa'oros HaGidolim, and then the Ma'or HaGadol, and then a Ma'or HaKaton. So remember again, Rashi quotes the Gemara. This is in Rashi in Perek Tes Zayin. I apologize, none of this is on your sheet. But if you have a Tanakh, or if you hopefully can follow along with Rashi, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Shavim Nivru. So Rashi says, sun and the moon were created equal. Equal. Now what exactly this means, right? Equal. Now does equal mean equal? I know that sounds like a strange question. Does equal mean equal? When I say the word equal, what do you think about? What's the definition of equal? Or a synonym for equal?
Same.
Excellent. Right? Were the sun and the moon ever created the same? No. How do you know that? Because it doesn't make sense. Right? If the moon was like the sun, the night would not be night. Night would be day. So this is incredibly important. Hold on to this thought. So you have the sun and the moon created equal. Right? Equal, but not the same. Equal, but not the same. So says Rashi, Shavim Nivru'u, they were created equal, but equal doesn't mean the same. So what happened? V'nisma'ata halavana, al shekitriga v'amra, efsha l'shnei melochim, sheyishtamshu b'keser achos. So what happens as Rashi HaKadosh? We know this Gemara. That what happened, the moon comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what does the moon say to the Ribono Shel Olam? What does the moon say? Can two kings share the same crown? Now, what effectively is the moon saying? What we're all familiar with this, right? So the moon comes, Kadosh Baruch Hu, two kings share the same crown. So what does Kadosh Baruch Hu tell the Yareach? Good, correct. L'chi umi'et es atzmeich. You're absolutely correct. Two kings can't share the same crown. Go and diminish yourself. So let's analyze this. What was the moon saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What was the time of the moon? The claim of the moon?
Can't be two of us.
Can't be two of us. Why not? Why can't there be two of us? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But where is the moon coming from with this taina? So there's only one Hashem. Go take this a bit further. Remember again, all of this is happening when? What day of creation? Day number four. What's the pattern of creation? Are there any duplicative things in nature? No. There's one rakia, there's one aretz. Meaning if you look just in the pattern of creation, there's quote unquote one of each thing. There's not two rakios. There's one rakia. Yes. Adam and Chav, dramatically different. Right? They're both human beings, but one is a man, one is a woman. Right? So they're both in the same creature category, but Lamaisa, very different. Hold on to that. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Excellent. So the way you're coming from, what's going on over here? You created the moon and I, and we're the same. I should say, we're equal. But that's not really how nature was structured. Right? There's one unique thing in each particular category, and now it appears that you've made two of the same thing. So it must be that one of us should be dominant over the other. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take to the suggestion of the moon? See, often remember again, well, obviously, this is not literal. How do we know that it's not literal? The moon can't talk. Right, well said. Right, and the moon doesn't have feelings. Right, and the moon doesn't. So obviously, this is Chazal telling us about a tension that existed in nature. How do you hear this Gemara? So when you hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to the moon, "Lichi umi'et es atzmeich," how do you hear God's response? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tone? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's disposition? Kiviyachol. I'm sorry? Okay, agreeing. Everyone agree that it's a tone of agreement?
Kind of like you're complaining, it's like
almost
just awful.
Right. It's, oh, yeah, what were you going to say?
Yeah, like not punishing, but like a little bit. Just...
Right. Almost like a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, like, fine. You want to complain, right? You think you have such a taina? Great. You know what? You're right. Now, you know, sometimes people say, you're right, but what they really mean is what? You're so wrong, but leave me alone. Leave me alone. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, fine, you know what? You're right. Two kings can't share the same crown. You know what? L'chi umi'et es atzmeich. Almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost like a bit dismissive of the moon. Almost as if he sounds like the moon is complaining, the moon is upset. So fine, you want to be like this? Go, go right ahead, fine. Leave me alone. So remember again, there must be something dramatically amazing that is unfolding over here, a deeper message. So the Maral has not, by the way, I want to tell you where this gets even more complicated. Where does it get more complicated? In Parshas Pinchas, and we're going to spend next class, we're going to focus on this, but in Parshas Pinchas, the Torah goes through the Karbanos of all of the Yamim Tovim. And included in that are the unique sacrificial service for Rosh Chodesh. What Karbanos do we bring on Rosh Chodesh? Interestingly enough, you bring a Karban Chatos. You bring a sin offering on Rosh Chodesh. Anyone know why you bring a sin offering on Rosh Chodesh? So it could be said, the Gemara says, one possibility is it actually atones for Tumas Mikdash Kadashav, a person inadvertently entered into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity or consumed certain sacrificial items in a stir, so it atones for my sins from the last month. There's another opinion. What's the other opinion Rashi brings down? I'm sorry? Oh, interesting. If you establish Rosh Chodesh on the wrong day, okay. What? Why not necessarily so? Is there such a thing as establishing Rosh Chodesh on the wrong day? Technically, no. But you want to say, in the event that in the cosmos, I've established on the wrong day. Beautiful, beautiful. Good, why else? Rashi also quotes something else. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Heviu alai kapara, al shemi atiti es hayareach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this, normally when you're bringing carbon chatas, who are you bringing a chatas for? Yourself. There's one exception. The chatas brought on Rosh Chodesh is a chatas that we bring for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm bringing a chatas for God, on behalf of God. Why am I bringing a chatas on behalf of God? So God says, why? Bring for me a chatas. Because I diminished the moon. Wow. Bring for me a chatas because I have diminished the moon. So these two exchanges are dramatically amazing. So here in Bereishis, we have the moon coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two kings can't go ahead and share the same crown. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, almost, again, at least the tone I read into it is almost like a dismissive tone. Fine, you want to be like that? L'chi u'me'et es atzmeich. Go and diminish yourself. How is the moon diminished, by the way? How is the moon diminished? The moon does not generate its own light. Remember again, the moon only reflects the light of the sun. That was the diminution of the moon. So Rich said, by the way, you can appreciate what was originally supposed to happen. Apparently, quote unquote, in the original story, both sun and moon would have generated their own light. That was the original plan. Not the pshat that the moon would have been as brilliant or luminescent as the sun, because then we never have night. There's always light and darkness. But the idea is that the moon would generate its own light, and perhaps what else? Perhaps what else? Maybe it would have been a constant. That's a possibility also about the waxing and waning of the moon. We'll get to that. But again, what happens? Shmuel's fine. You don't want to share a crown. Go and diminish yourself. Make yourself smaller. You don't generate your own light. You will reflect the light of the sun. Fast forward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Klal Yisrael. Almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, "What? How does he feel about what happened with the moon? How does he feel? Remorse." So again, very strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels remorse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels like he wronged the moon. It just sounds strange. But that is certainly what it sounds like. Heviu alai kapara, bring atonement for me, God. Al shemi atati es hayareach. So we're gonna leave Parshas Pinchas on the side for now. But I want to focus on the taina of the moon. Right? So when the moon says, let's go back for just a moment. So two kings can't wear the same crown. So ultimately, again, what's the moon? So we spoke about before that the moon is looking ultimately again at the rest of creation. And the rest of creation, there was like one in each category. Now you want to make two of the same level. But what's the deeper taina of the moon? Meaning, remember, Chazal trying to teach us something. What's the moon's complaint? What is the moon upset about? Please. Beautiful, beautiful. So maybe this complaint, see, I often thought when reading this Rashi that the moon's taina is driven by the moon's ego. But maybe not. Maybe what's happening over here is the moon saying, if I have to share a crown, then maybe that holds me back. Maybe I can't be the best moon I could be if I have to share a crown and share a platform with something else. You know, everything else in nature has the ability to be the best version of itself because it is by itself. But me, if I have to share a crown, if I have to share a platform, does that not stymie my ability for self-actualization? Excellent. Any other ideas? So I want to show you something amazing. There's something else that's happening over here, which is going back for just a moment, that when the moon was created, so remember again, it is clear that the sun and the moon were equal. Were equal. And it could very well be that what the moon felt the definition of equality was what? If you're equal, like we said before, equal means what? Synonymous with?
Same.
The same. And it could very well be, kind of building what was just mentioned so beautifully, could very well be that what the moon is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, if we're equal, then I am redundant. If we're equal, equality means being the same. And if we are the same, then we are redundant. Why do you need two of the same thing in the universe? Meaning, this argument of the moon is not coming, I don't think, from an ego-driven perspective, but it's coming from the moon's desire, as was just mentioned, coming from the moon's desire to do something, to contribute something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're creating us. And remember again, in the narrative of creation, Yehi Ma'oros, Pirkei Hashem, the Ma'oros are the same. Eshnei Ma'oros HaGidolim, we're the same. Excuse me, we're equal. And equal must mean the same. And if we're the same, then I'm redundant. And if I'm redundant, then what's my role? Yefshar L'Shnei Melachim M'Shtam Shekeser Achos means, why do you need two things in nature doing the same thing? What was the moon's mistake? What was its mistake? And this is a profound mistake. Equality does not mean sameness. You hear this? Equality does not mean sameness. When you are equal to something, does not mean you are the same as something. I want to show you an incredible Gemara. This is actually just in today's daf, in Daf Yomi. And I thought it was just Hashkacha that I learned this morning. If you want to share it with you, take a look on the Xerox page that you have. This is from Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Margala bepuma, you see it's the underlined lines. Margala bepumai hudrabanam diyafna. Now, margala b'pumai literally means, margala means like a precious jewel in the mouth, which means a common saying, a precious saying from the mouths of the rabbis in Yavne. Now, remember again, which rabbanim were in Yavne? So remember again, that was the leftover Sanhedrin. Remember again, right? This is when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai escapes. So Yavne wasn't just a group of rabbis, but Yavne again was the greatest rabbinic leaders of the generation. So what would the greatest rabbinic leaders of the generation say? Listen to this. They would say, Ani Beria, V'chaveri Beria. They would say, you know, I am a creation and my friend. Now the friend that they are referring to over here are actually the farmers. The farmers, they would say, right, I'm a creation, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I'm a creation, and the farmer is also a creation. Ani Malachti Be'ir, V'hu Malachto Basadeh. My Malach is in the city. Now, these are the Rabbanim of Yavne speaking. What's their malacha?
Learning.
They're in the Beis Medrash. Right, so my malacha in the Beis Medrash is in the city. For whom malach to basada? My friend, his malacha, his work is out in the fields. Ani mashkim l'malachti. I wake up early to do my work. These are the Rabbanim saying, we go wake up early to the Beis Medrash. For whom mashkim l'malachto. And my farmer friend, he gets up early to do his work. Kishem shu'ena misnagi b'malachti. Kach ani eino misnagi b'malachto. The same way that my farmer friend can't take my job, he doesn't encroach on my work, I don't encroach on his work. So he's got his work, I've got my work. V'shema tomar ani mar bevehu mamit. So listen to this. Rabbanu Yavne say, maybe you'll think that we're better than the farmers. Maybe we're better. Maybe the Rabbanim of Yavne are better than the farmers. After all, why would the Rabbanim of Yavne be better than the farmers? Why? The Rabbanim of Yavne are certainly what? Learning much more Torah than the farmers out in the field. So maybe you think this makes us superior. Shaninu echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit ubilvad shi'echavein libo lashamayim. Whether you learn a lot or whether you learn a little, the ikar is that ultimately you direct your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens. What's the point of this Gemara? What's the point of this Gemara? What's the takeaway message from this? Any thoughts?
Mm-hmm. We both are equal in avodas Hashem, even though we're not doing the same.
Excellent. That we are both equal in our avodas Hashem, even though we are clearly not the same. Not the same. There is no key. Meaning, the Rabbanim of Yavne, who were the elite of Torah scholarship, and the farmer out in the field who might have been generally ignorant, are certainly not the same. Yet, what the Rabbanim of Yavne are saying is that what? We are of equal importance. We are of equal importance. And here you see a dramatically amazing yesod. That equality does not mean sameness. Equality does not mean sameness. Remember, why can't equality mean sameness? By the way, I don't think there's such a word as sameness, but you understand what I mean. Right? Why can't equality mean sameness? Is sameness a good thing? Why not? Think about this for just a moment. Sameness is a terrible thing. Right? If everybody was the same, then humanity would never advance. We say this all the time. Borei nefashos rabos v'chesronam. You have your deficiencies, I have my deficiencies. What's the great thing? The great thing is, I don't have your deficiencies, you don't have my deficiencies. I don't have your strengths, you don't have my strength. And the beautiful part is, therefore, we complement each other. If we all have the same strengths, we all have the same deficiencies, then let me say again, humanity, the world, remains at a standstill. So at the end of the day, what the Rabbanim of Yavne are saying is that equality does not mean sameness. And this is an incredible use. So by the way, you understand the profundity of this. Because remember, one of the greatest tensions in greater society that we live in is that people often think that the definition of equality means that we must all be the same. If I'm really equal to you, then I should be able to do the same things that you do. But the truth is, Yiddishkeit already from a long time ago said that's not true. Men are men, women are women. There are different roles, there are different responsibilities. There's incredible amount of overlap as well. But there's a uniqueness. Are men and women equal?
Yeah.
Of course, of course. That should be like a resounding yes. Of course, really? I'll take you to a group of women and you don't say that, you should be shouting that. Of course. Of course, that's not a suffix. That's not even like, well, this one says this. Of course men and women are equal. Of course. By the way, just like all human beings are equal, right? A Jew is not a more important human being than a non-Jew, right? There's equality amongst men and women. There's equality amongst Jew and non-Jew. What there is not is sameness. Here's the distinction. So men and women are equal, but they are not the same. They're not supposed to be the same. They're not supposed to try to be the same. The Jew and the Gentile may be equal in terms of their importance as children of God and human beings. Klal Yisrael has a unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that doesn't make me more important than someone else. It just makes me different than someone else. So this is an incredibly important yesod about equality versus sameness. Yes? So let's talk about this in just a moment. So remember again, they were created, so they were equal in that they were both luminaries. Were they really created to do the same thing? Think about this in just a moment. Did the sun and the moon have the same tachlis? No. Right? Remember again, even from the beginning, you saw this in the lashon of the pasuk already. Lahavdil bein alayla, bein ayom bein alayla, v'hayulo sosol odin liyamim. They already have different missions. They already have different missions, right? From the beginning already, the sun was going to do its thing because the moon was right. There's nothing duplicative in nature, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not create redundancies in the world. At the end of the day, everything has its own unique mission. What the moon got thrown by is that the moon thought that because we're equal, therefore we're the same. And if we're the same, then why are you creating redundancy in nature? And meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says to the moon, although he doesn't use these words, is you weren't paying attention. You weren't paying attention when I uttered my amira for your creation. Because I told you explicitly, lahavdil bein hayom ubein halayla. Lahavdil means what? To what? To distinguish or to differentiate between day and night. Already, again, you are equal, but you're not the same. It's a distinction here. You are equal in that you are both equally important. The sun is no more important than the moon, and the moon is no more important than the sun. But moon, you're assuming that equality means sameness, and you're fundamentally missing the message of creation. Equality means you're both of equal importance. Do you have dramatically different missions, mandates? Absolutely. Absolutely. And even going back to someone mentioned before, Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava is also not duplicative in nature, right? Because Adam has his avoda. What's Adam's avoda? We learned this last semester. What's Adam's avoda? Good. Lavda ulishamra. With all the different interpretations, not just in the Gan, but in the world. What's Chava's responsibility? I'm sorry? Be Ezer Kenegdo. But what else? What else is... Remember, what is Chava's primary role, universal role? What's her name? Aim Kol Chai. Chava is the mother of humanity. Now, what does that mean? Actually, I'll tell you something amazing. It's actually this same Gemara. It's actually quite funny. It's actually this same exact Gemara. I don't know if it's on this page or the next. No, it's not. It must be the next daf. No, I'm sorry. It's this daf. Listen to this. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. It's not marked, but do you see it? Amrale Rav Rab Chia. You see this? So Nashim b'may Zachyon. You might ask an interesting question. From what do women glean their merits? In other words, the Gemara is operating under the assumption a woman has less mitzvot than a man. Less obligations. So where does the merit of a woman come from? So the Gemara says, Ba'akruye banai hu lebei kinishta. Ultimately, again, by taking her children to learn Torah, lebei kinishta means to the yeshiva, taking her children to the yeshiva. Uba'asnuye gavrai hu bei rabbanon. And ultimately, again, by encouraging her husband to go to learn Torah. V'nachshon gavrayu ad asil mi bei rabbanon. And they wait for their husbands to come home from the yeshiva. I'm sure everyone's learned this Gemara in seminary.
Yeah,
right? Good. So I want to tell you something. Something about this Gemara always bothered me. And I'm not a woman, right? Can I ask you, does anything bother you about this Gemara? It's okay, it's a safe space. You can say it, right? Right? Anything bother you about this? I'm sorry? Excellent. So what does this mean? Isn't a woman's life doesn't have meaning until she's married and has kids? What happens if a person is not zocha to get married? What happens if a person is not zocha to have children? Right? Lo kol adam. Right? Lo kol isha zocha lekach, unfortunately. So what does that mean? And by the way, it's something more than that. The notion of my life only having meaning through someone else. Strange. So if I'm a man, my life could have meaning by me. Right, by me. Whether I get married and have children or not, my life is meaning. But a woman, her life only has meaning as an expression through others. There's such a deeper message that's being expressed over here. What's the deeper meaning that's being expressed?
Same
I'm sorry, in what sense?
That it's reflective.
So it could be that the moon is good, reflective of the light, good. But again, that only works if a woman has these brachos in her life. What happens if she doesn't? So what's the deeper meaning? When it says that the zchus of a woman is taking her children to yeshiva, sending her husband off to learn, ready for him to come, what does that mean? What's the deeper message? When the Torah says that Chava is Eim Kol Chai, what it means is that the power of the Isha is as an enabler of the growth of others. You see, what the Gemara is saying over here, if you look at all of these things, what is it? That the tachlis of woman is to drive carpool, right? If she goes in and she gets her kids to school, then mamish. No, what it's saying is that the Isha woman is uniquely positioned not only to create her own growth, but to be an enabler in the growth of all of those around her. That's the examples that the Gemara is giving over here. Her children and her husband are examples of the primary people in her life who she has the ability to enable growth within. But already Chava, when it calls Chava in Kol Chai, she is the mother of all living things. What does that mean? What does that mean? That's just like a biological statement that she's the woman who birthed the first children. She's the mother of all the... Okay, it could be. But on a deeper level, what it's saying is the Tal Chava's greatness is that she was the enabler of life in others. She was the enabler of growth in others. Where do you see that Chava was the enabler of growth in others? What is Chava's most dramatic accomplishment? The most dramatic thing Chava ever did? Eight from Eitz Hadas. Okay, that's not so good. Right? What's the most positive, dramatic thing she ever did? Most dramatic, positive thing she ever did. See, nobody ever thinks about Chava, because the truth is, pretty much like her role is wrapped up in the Eitz Das Tovara. But Chava did something dramatically amazing in Aruch, which is the very reason that we are here to this very day. Which is, she married Adam, although there wasn't much of a choice. I mean, the pool was kind of limited, right? But she did something amazing. After Cain killed Hevel, what did she do? She had another child. She went on. In the aftermath of devastating loss, Chava continued to build her mishpacha. She enabled growth in the world. Sheis, ki sheis li elokim ben acher tachas Hevel b'ni. She went forward. Chava is the enabler of growth in mankind because she did not buckle to her circumstances. So ultimately, the Gemara says over here, "Benoshin b'may zachyon," which means, what is the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded within women? It's the ability ultimately to what? To enable growth in others. Now, I want to point out, this is not uniquely feminine, right? Meaning, it's found more in women, because the truth is, who is the greatest example of someone who enabled growth in others? Greatest example we have, I think. Who? Avram, excellence. Right, Avram is called Av Hamon Goyim, father of a multitude of nations. How many kids does Avram Avinu have? It's not a trick question. How many kids? Two. Right, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Where's the Av Hamon Goyim? So the Netziv says, so I think we mentioned this before in a different class. The Netziv says, he's Av Hamon Goyim because he was the enabler of spiritual growth for so many. You see, what you do for yourself is incredible, but what you enable in others is even more dramatic. The greatness of Avraham Avinu, what he did for himself was a very small part. The man he made of himself was a very small part. Because what you do for yourself is very limited. But the ability to enable growth in those around you, that is the greatest metric of success. So to kind of loop this all back around, so we begin to see, the Gemara is saying, are men and women equal? Absolutely. But don't confuse equality with sameness. A woman has her tachlis, a man has his tachlis, a Jew has his tachlis, a Gentile has his tachlis. Everybody has a different tachlis, so there's no sameness. And this is the great challenge, because again, this is halacha l'maaseh in greater society, because there's always a struggle for equality, but sometimes people think equality means sameness. And that was, by the way, it's a logical mistake, because who was the first thing to make that mistake? The moon. Herein lies the mistake of the moon. The moon sees Shnei Ma'oros and assumes if we're both equal, we're both the same. If we're both the same, Ein Shnei Melachim Mishtam Shem Bekesser Achos. It's redundant. Why are you creating redundancies in nature? Because Baruch Hu says, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. You are equal, but you are not the same. And ultimately, again, the lesson for us comes out. Equality, we're all equal. But we should never try to be the same as someone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, that was the mistake of the moon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us that although we are all equal in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, like the Rabbanim of Yavne said, the Rabbanim are no greater than the farmers, and the farmers are no greater than the Rabbanim. But you couldn't find two groups of people that were more dissimilar. Equality doesn't mean sameness. It is our tachlis in life to figure out what makes us unique, what makes us special, and ultimately, again, how to find our kohos to be able to self-actualize. This was the mistake of the moon, and it cost the moon its standing within the order of creation. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up in Mishnah next class, we're then going to the next piece of this conversation, which is Parshas Pinchas. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemingly has remorse for what he does for the, to the moon, that Emirat Hashem will see on Wednesday.